Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Wow, praise God everybody, welcome to Ticker. I'm going to do my best in the next 28 minutes to deposit something incredible in your life that I think will help. Would you stand with me this morning? And let me just share with you that the reason that we stand for the Word of God at this moment is that everything that we have done from the beginning of this service leads us to this moment because we believe that the Word of God has so much power that if your heart is open to it, that it will change your life, heal you, strengthen you, change your perspective, raise your expectations. David said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light and understanding." David said, God's exalted his word above his name. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. That's probably enough this morning. God bless you today. You may be seated. We've already prayed. I declare that hail will not damage your home, your vehicle. High winds will not damage your house or your vegetation. I declare tornadoes are directed some other direction, back up into the atmosphere. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the issues of the heart, that God tests the heart. He tries the heart. He touches the heart. And today I want to take a couple of moments and tell you that he has the ability to turn your heart, to turn the heart of your enemies, and to turn the heart of those that you need favor with. Amen. Let me tell you a story about a gentleman who lost a tree in his yard, and it was shared with me recently. This tree was humongous. It was 10 foot in circumference. And all of a sudden, he came home one day, and that tree had snapped and was laying in his driveway. In its fall, it had damaged other trees that were next to it. He was overcome with bewilderment because all of the branches seemed to be green. The leaves seemed to be green. The top and the foliage in the top of that tree seemed to be fruitful. And yet when it fell, they discovered that the heart of that tree was dead. When the man came to saw it off, he knew that this man had much experience with trees. And he said, "Sir, when did this process begin? How could the heart of this tree be so black, so damaged, and yet the root system was extracting water from the ground and the leaves and the branches seemed to be fruitful?" He said, "Sir, the process could have begun over 15 years ago. And that tree still came to church and Bible study. It was still extracting that which it needed, but something began to decay in the heart of that tree." And the owner of the tree and the property said, "Sir, how could it break off? How could it topple like that?" He said, "Because even though there was great fruitfulness in the top of the tree or great success, the heart of the tree did not have the capacity to hold the weight of its success." Selah. And so it's critical for us to understand that when God begins to put his finger on an issue in our life, and it is a recurring issue, that he's not trying to condemn us, he's not trying to hold us back, that he's trying to get us to open up so that we will deal with the issue that's in our heart. And when that tree toppled, it damaged other trees. When people fall in a traumatic way, it doesn't just affect them. It affects people that are watching them. It affects people that are close to them. And then that tree toppled and blocked his driveway. When people fall with such severity, it affects people, it affects their walk, it affects access to things that they want to connect with. Let me take you to the third chapter of the book of James and verse 3 this morning for just a moment. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. James is very clear about all of these things. And when we talk about the heart is the total accumulation in response of everything that we've ever walked through. What you went through in your home. Maybe you came from a divorced home. Maybe you came from a violent, abusive background. Maybe these terms were a part of your life. Rejection, fear, inferiority, abandonment, abuse. When your heart is not healed, we continue to make choices and decisions that reflect our past history. You can be in church, and if you're still embracing patterns of behavior that you had before you were saved, that at that moment you wanted to rid your life of it, and you cried out to Jesus and he helped you, if you go back and re-embrace those issues that will cause moral decay in your life, then your heart is not healed. And I shared with you that a pig loves the mud because that's his nature. You can clean that pig up, you can scrub it, you can put a bow in its tail, but it will run back to what it's comfortable with. But you take a sheep and throw it in the mud and that sheep will cry. So let me just help you today to know that God wants to turn your heart and your situation. But the devil understands and knows that if he can take and invade the corridor of your life and connect your past experiences with the emotion of the moment, he can control your destiny. Because we all remember emotional moments when things happened to us, whether they were good, advantageous to us, or they were detrimental and they harmed us. And the devil wants to take the emotions of the past, especially when you're believing God and walking by faith for something in the future, and you become frustrated because all of us have those moments in our life where we don't believe God is acting as quickly as we would like for him to. Come on, don't lie with me today. Let's be honest today. How many of you are believing for God to do something, but you haven't seen it yet? So you're either hiding and crying, or you're walking by faith and believing God and not allowing your emotions to contaminate your faith. But the enemy wants to keep you in a place where you are not healed from your past or the fear of the future, so that he can control, contaminate, and redirect your life so that you miss the promises of God and you sit in a church service and hear testimonies and wonder, God, why is it you're not working in my behalf? Why is it that you've done this for them? I'm just as good as them. Are you okay? So we discovered that the Latin root for the word emotions is the same root word for motive or motivation. What motivates you? Are you motivated by your emotions or are you motivated by the Word of God? Because if you're motivated by your emotions, the devil will drag you everywhere. And you can blame God, you can blame others, but we have to take responsibility for our actions and our choices. And we may say, well, Pastor, you don't know what they did to you. What somebody did to you, they do not have the capacity to control your life unless you allow a continuum. And if you do and you don't forgive and release them and embrace the power of God, then what's happening to you is what you've allowed to happen. Three people, thank you. We all have the opportunity to be offended or healed, to walk in bitterness or to be better. And the accumulation of events in our life can control what comes out of our heart. Remember that the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Faith operates the same way. What are you believing? What are you declaring? What are you confessing? What are you embracing? I declare I'm the head and not the tail. I am blessed and not cursed. I am above and not beneath. I declare I'm blessed when I rise up, blessed when I lie down, blessed when I go into the field to the job, blessed when I come home. I declare my children are blessed. Even if they're not living right, I still call them blessed. Hallelujah. I want to remind them of their potential and not their failures. I want to remind them of the blessing of God and the hand of God upon their life, that the hand of God can turn their life in any direction and bring favor in their life and make those that are enemies to them be at peace if we respond correctly with a healed heart. There'll always be struggles in our life, but if we will depend upon Jesus and his faithfulness, God will work in our hearts in a powerful way. Because we cannot live for God with a divided heart, divided allegiance. Let me ask you, how many of you are married? What if your husband or wife came home and said, you know what, I really love you, but I love somebody else too. So I'm going to spend part of the time with you, and I'm going to spend part of the time down the street. And you need to be okay with that. I don't hate you. I appreciate everything you've done. Thank you for that new Maserati. I really appreciate it. In fact, I'm going to drive it down to his house in a few moments. Thank you for shopping at Macy's for me. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for ordering lasagna at Angelo's yesterday. It was so wonderful. But I've got to put a few things in the baggage and the luggage that you purchased for me when we went to Paris so I can go down to that house. I just want you to know I'm not mad at you and I don't hate you, but I love this person also. Would that go over well with anybody? Some of you are not shaking your head. I don't know if you're afraid to answer. Is it possible that we've done that with Jesus? That our allegiance could be divided, especially when he asks us to do something that could cost us? But you have to understand, when we really love somebody, cost is not a factor. Cost is not an issue. Doesn't matter what it costs. Because when you first get married and you're dating, you're just in love with them and you do all of these little things. You spend time, you rearrange your life, you buy flowers, and now they have multiplied in cost exponentially. And then we start counting the cost. Don't make me come down here. But if we really love somebody or we love God, the cost is insignificant. We don't count the cost. Well, I don't know if I want to go to church today. You know, they're talking about storms, and I know pastors prayed before, and I've seen it work, and we agree with him, but, you know, so we start counting the cost. You know, I stayed up too late, so I don't know if I can get there this morning. Really, you're counting the cost, but if you want to do something real, probably at 11 o'clock, we'll see you at the mall, or maybe you'll make the 1:30 matinee. It's all about where our heart is and what we love. And what I'm trying to say to you is if God has your whole heart, then he will not withhold any good thing from you. So if we'll just turn to Jesus, if we'll walk with Jesus, if we'll move with Jesus, if we'll trust Jesus with our life, with our heart, with everything that we have, things begin to turn out in an incredible way. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus was very clear. He said, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and anything else. God doesn't care what you have. He is only concerned about what has you. You say, but Lord, why am I going through this storm? Why am I going through these deep waters? Why are these things happening to me? I wonder if the Lord would respond and say, I'm taking you into troubled waters because your enemies can't swim. Hallelujah. Somebody's excited today. God bless you. If you're struggling today, and we all struggle, don't pretend that you don't struggle with stuff. I struggle with things. I struggle with the reality that people in society drive so slow. They signal left and they turn right. They allow their children at Walmart to get on the floor and throw a fit over some insignificant cereal and Cracker Jacks because of the prize. I have a remedy for that. It's biblical. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It will not kill them. But then again, I don't know what that person has gone through. I was on the elevator at DMH the other day, and a lady got on, and she was weeping violently. And the Spirit of the Lord began to nudge me, and I didn't want to be nudged. You ever been in a mood where you just didn't want to talk to anybody? Didn't want to be around people? Am I the only one? Because my philosophy is God is cool, but people are not always. And the Lord said, I said, speak to him, her. Yes, sir. I said, ma'am, you having a bad day? That was a big revelation. Tears are streaming down on the floor of the elevator. It doesn't take a rocket science or a prophet to know that. She said, yeah. I said, what's the matter? She said, my mom's about to pass. I said, well, you know what? God's with you. God will walk with you. God will help you. Does she know Jesus? Pastor, I could never say that. Oh, seriously? You think I can and you can't? I'm supposed to, but you're not? Seriously? So we had a little conversation, prayed for her. She said, thank you. I don't know what happened. I just know that in that moment, we have to reach out. And as God touched our heart, allow him to flow through us and touch her heart, because we don't know the impact or the influence that may take place. Let me take you to the 14th verse of James chapter 4 for just a moment. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live or do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Let me share with you that every day is a gift from God. Every moment is a gift from God. Every palpitation of your heart is a gift from God. Every time your heart squeezes and pumps blood through your body is a gift from God. Every time it circulates and brings the carbon dioxide back and you exhale is a gift from God. Every moment that you're allowed to sleep in peace and tranquility is a gift from God. Every time you have the opportunity to receive a paycheck is a gift from God. If you got somebody in your life that loves you, it's a gift from God. If you have children in your life that haven't loved you but love you now, it's a gift from God. If you're succeeding in any measure, it's a gift from God. Every breath, every moment, every aspect of our life is a gift from God. How can I not call on his name in the time of trouble? How can I not allow him to heal my heart totally and surrender to him? And so I just want you to think about something, because if you're feeling neglected by God, could it be that he wants to take your emotions and mess with them? Let me just share with you for just a moment that the issues of your heart that Proverbs speaks about, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart come the issues of life. Can I tell you that maybe the issues of life are not just natural things that happen to you? But is it possible that our willingness to hang on to things that have been done to us, that have happened to us, bad choices in our life, have an element of demonic influence in them? Let me take you to the second chapter of the book of Genesis in verse 15. God had created Adam out of the dust of the earth. Adam was alone. Eve was not there yet, or she would have given him the information, perhaps, of what he should or shouldn't do and would have reminded him. That's my philosophy, because what I forget, she remembers. That's why all juries should be comprised of women, because they're detail-oriented. And somebody gets on the stand and they nudge one another, no, that's not true. He said 6 months ago on page 34 of the testimony that he wasn't there. Now he's saying he's there. Just a thought, something to think about. And so God tells Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, I've placed you in the garden to keep it. The element of the garden that was not to be contaminated by evil forces was the responsibility of Adam to keep, to protect, to watch over. There was a tree there that was not to be tampered with, and yet that's what happened. Because in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we see that the serpent, the devil, was more subtle. Corrupt, he was a deceiver. He's looking for an avenue to get into the vulnerability and the crevices of your heart where Jesus has not healed it and helped you to overcome it, so that now what happened to you is not a a detriment to you, but is a weapon in your hand to bring other people through the flood tide of adversity of their emotions. And the devil found a vulnerability in Adam and Eve's life, and he began to tempt them with the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, and they submitted to that. Not only did they sin, but now they have issues. We know that when we worship God, that God responds to our worship, that when we sing, whether we clap, whatever demonstrative avenue we worship God, coming to church is worship. Telling somebody else about worship. Being who God created you to be is worship unto Him. Is it possible, as we examine the Word of God, when Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. He then declares in John 12, 32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Is it possible in an atmosphere of praise and worship where God responds to our worship in a phenomenal way, convicts us, strengthens us, gives us understanding, heals us, directs us, empowers us, sanctifies us, blesses us? Is it possible that if we do continually with no regret and no remorse that which God does not embrace or love, is it possible that we have given the devil worship? Let me ask you this question. Is the devil neutral about you? Is he sitting in hell just saying, I don't care what they do. Life is a big enough struggle. If I can just keep things in Washington stirred up, I don't need to mess with them. Is he neutral about your life? Does he enjoy seeing you make progress in the kingdom? Does he want your heart healed? Does he want you to worship God? Does he want you to be here? Does he want you to be in a corporate atmosphere? Does he want you to pray? You're a little slow, but you're catching up. I'm limited. I got 14 minutes. Does he want you to read your Bible? Does he want the infusion of the knowledge of the Word of God to come into your life? If the answer is no, then he is not neutral about your life. Is God neutral about your life? Not at all. He paid the ultimate price on Calvary's cross so that you could stand with victory, healing, strength, emotionally whole, taking the events of the past and not allowing them to dictate your future. Even though you failed, failure is not final. He will take those failures and use them as a platform to move ahead in the kingdom, to become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If the devil is not neutral to us, why would we not want to give our total life, heart, and everything we are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Why would we reach back in a moment of frustration or anxiety and grab a hold of things from our past and do things that we know will not please Him unless we understand it gives the devil an opportunity to misdirect our life and to tamper with our life? He is not neutral about you, my friend. If he cannot blindside you to get you to go to hell, he will paralyze you so that you're impotent in your effect in the kingdom. Paul said, I refuse these chains. Even while Paul was in prison, in the lower part of the prison where the human refuge an unsanitary place was, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He would spend his final days before offering up his life. He would make this statement when he wrote to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Can I just share something with you? For all of us that think we've got all kinds of life to live, you do not know that you're going to be here tomorrow. If you do and you have 100% assurance of that, would you meet me in my office after church? I want to know who you're connecting with. Paul said, I know who I have committed my life to and that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Can I tell you that there's great joy, great prosperity, great peace when you absolutely and totally allow Jesus to come in, heal every facet of your heart, stir some things up in remembrance. Maybe he wants to put his finger on your life and go, you know what? This is what I'm really asking for you. Not that you can turn around and go, God's just asking so much from me. No, so that you can yield it, so that you can walk in a higher level of the presence of God and impact in people's lives. The devil is not neutral about you, my friend. Don't for one minute think that you can just do what you want and he's neutral. He's not neutral. That's why we believe that we ought to pursue God with all of our hearts. I do not have time for preachers and churches that want to pacify everybody and go, everybody's okay. God loves you. You don't need to change. You don't need to do anything different. We don't need to challenge one another to be better. I just know that I got saved, born again to the bone with the fire of God, March the 1st, 1974. And God has not allowed me just to rest and not make changes. He challenges me to be better because he knows that the capacity within all of us is to rise up to a higher level. You don't even know what your capacity is until you're challenged. You really don't know the capacity and the ability of God until you are challenged to go beyond where you are. Please hear my heart. I love the fact that people repent of their sins. They give Jesus Christ their life, but that is a springboard into the pool of the kingdom of God. But you say, if I make a change in my life and I allow God to touch my heart, then I might have to stop doing some things I'm doing. Why would that disturb you? Why would you be troubled by that? If Jesus is putting a finger on any aspect of your heart, do you think, because he knows the end from the beginning, that maybe that issue is hindering you from what you can become? That maybe it's a stumbling block to somebody that's watching your life? I'm just saying. To the degree that you allow God to work upon your heart is the degree which God will allow himself and those around you to work in your behalf. Would you go to Proverbs 21 and verse 1 with me? I have 1 minute and 49 seconds. I can do this. I have faith. Cody, you got faith? Is that Cody? Lucas, sorry. Old people are just a tragedy. Everybody they see looks like somebody they should know, and the people they should remember, they can't. Because I'll call the lookalike something, and it won't be right. I called Jonathan Aaron when I was out to eat with him in Michigan. So it's just part of life. But the memory of the just is blessed. We just take a step backward. We look at the family picture, and we remind ourselves, and we take a large ink pen, and we mark over their faces who they are. So we memorize that. The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. He is the King of Kings, and your heart is in his hand. And there is a key to getting God to turn your heart so that you are an overcomer, that you have victory in your life, that God does things in your life, and that he will give you favor. Why is it that you're looking for a promotion and you're looking to natural things? Why don't you look for the king to turn the heart of those that have the ability to promote you, to bring increase in your life? Years ago, we had a gentleman that gave the church a 1970-something Buick four-door, 440 dual exhaust. The inside was immaculate and brand new. He caught me at IGA parking lot on a Sunday morning. He said, I've been trying to avoid you. Well, nobody's really had the brazen courage to say that to my face. I said, well, I called him by name. I said, why? He said, God's been dealing with me for a month to give your church this car. Well, and he goes, I don't know why. Come on, somebody. When favor is on your life, people will begin to give you things, do things for you, and they may not even know why. Because God has the ability to turn the heart. Let me give you just a couple of applications this morning, because if it's true that the devil is not neutral about us, and if we continue in what we know is wrong with no regret and no remorse, that we potentially could give the devil some sense of honor or satisfaction knowing that his plan and pursuit is working, then we have to be careful to guard our heart with that religious attitude that says, I'm not as bad as them. God's not concerned about them. He's concerned about you. So the word turn means to convert, to change, to bend away from. Hear my heart. We've studied iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Iniquity is the sins of the forefathers transferred to us from generations before. Iniquity means to bend towards evil. To turn means to bend away. Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. When I turn you away, you're going to go through a situation, Peter. You're going to make some mistakes, as you have already made. But you know I love you. I care for you. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. You're going to be great. I'm going to empower you. You've made another misstep. But when you are converted, when you are turned away from that, you're going to receive power that causes you to overcome. And you're going to strengthen your brethren. Three things: when you read the Word of God, you receive knowledge. When you hear the Word of God, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When you become a doer of the Word, you have experience. And Romans says experience makes not ashamed, because we understand how it works, how it operates. So we begin to respond to God. When we hear the word, we do the word, we read the word. Something in us will begin to turn. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever had somebody come to you and they've only gone to church maybe a couple times in their life, but they're experts on biblical analysis? And you try to share something with them and they go, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, how do you know? Have you read it? No, but my grandmammy, she said, well, did your grandmammy go to church? No, she had some encounters with them. The pastor ran off with a piano player, and so I haven't gone to church, but I know what the Bible says. Really, you haven't even read it. Can I tell you that the Word declares that God is great and greatly to be praised, and He loves you and wants to change your life and transform your life? We can damage our heart if we don't allow God to turn our heart. I've shared this story with you before, because there is iniquity in all of us, sins of the forefathers. My grandfather was an alcoholic. He was killed in a car wreck. I never saw a picture of him until 5 years ago. He would take my mom at the age of 12 years old, take her to the local tavern, sit her on the bar stool, spend all their money on booze. You say, Pastor, but I have a drink of wine once in a while. I'm not come to debate with you, but I have come to talk to you about drunkenness. Because drunkenness can ruin your life. It's iniquity. Would you let God turn your heart? Would you let Him? Man, we just dove off a cliff. I shouldn't even started down that road. But I've been there. It almost ruined my life. Did you hear what I said? Almost ruined my life. I'm not going to debate with you over whether or not you think it's right or wrong to have a glass of wine at your table. I'm not debating with you about that. But I will stand toe-to-toe to you and tell you, when you get drunk, you're sinning against God, because you're out of control. God's not in control. When you gossip without any fear of God, you're out of control. When you backbite, you're out of control. Prayerlessness causes your life to be out of control. When you don't worship, it causes your life to be out of control. If you haven't read the Word of God for months, you're out of control. But when you read the Word of God, it becomes a strength to you. Final three things. Would you stand with me today? How do I get God to turn my heart? Pastor, I need God to intervene in my life. I need this contract to go through. I need favor on my job. I need them to do and to make this decision. Do you believe God's big enough to do that? Number one, if you want something to turn in your life, in your heart or in those that are around you, you've got to be convinced that God desires to change your situation. You have to be convinced. I am convinced that God wants to make adjustments in every one of our life so that we can take a step higher, so that we can be a greater shining light to those that are around us. I'm telling you, he's a prayer answering God. Janine's grandson was in a horrible car wreck, thrown through the windshield. They thought that there was damage there, and we started praying, and come to find out that damage wasn't there. He was in an induced coma in the hospital at Memphis. He lives in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. So she kept texting me, and I know many of you were praying and agreeing with her and with us. And all of a sudden, signs of improvement. Now he's starting to be cognitive. He's trying to speak. They put a tracheotomy in. It's okay. His process of acceleration in recovery is enormous. Why is that? Because God wants to turn things. He wants to turn your heart. He wants to turn my heart. He wants to turn situations in your life. I just want to ask you again. You don't even have to respond. Are you convinced that God desires to change or turn your situation? Number two, then you need to repent without excuse of any known sin. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but I find myself being very intolerant of people driving in front of me with no understanding or desire to understand that I am in a hurry. I am very intolerant of elevators at the hospital that have dementia. And I've waited. I'm in a hurry to get to that room, and the elevator waits. And then when I think the doors are going to open, somebody pushes the button and it goes a different direction. Maybe those things don't bother you. But maybe you're intolerant of something. And so I've had to repent before God and say, God, I make no excuse. Forgive me for not being tolerant, because I have no idea what that person's going through right now. And I've made a judgment out of my heart based upon their actions, but I want you to judge my intentions. Number three, ask the Lord for the specific turning that you desire. What is it that you desire God to turn? I've been praying for many of you about your job situation, people that are wanting to buy a home, a variety of issues. God, turn this situation. Lord, would you turn this around? Would you turn this? I don't have the time to tell you, but three places in the 80th chapter of Psalms, David writes and says, turn us again, O God, so that we may be healed and delivered or rescued or rewarded or empowered. Three times. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah says, it was granted unto us because the good hand of the Lord was upon us and turned the king's heart. In the book of Ezra, Ezra writes and says, the hand of the Lord, the good hand of the Lord, turned and brought us a man of understanding. God can turn anything in your life and adjust it. We've almost forgotten that he still has all power in heaven and earth, and you don't. We are his servants. He is the king. And I am amazed that he would allow you and I, as flawed as we are, to pray a prayer and his grace be appropriated to us. That he would be concerned about us, that he would touch our life, that he would be so concerned about us that he would allow us to walk through challenges to prove his greatness and his power, so that we could be strengthened and walk in faith and believe that there is nothing too difficult for God.
God bless you. So honored that you would connect with us in this program. We pray that this message from the Word of God has been a great blessing to you, has transformed you. Maybe it has released desire to be more than what you ever thought you could be. That's his plan for you. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says God, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a place of great hope. We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us through Facebook or Instagram. We want you to know we're praying for you. We call you blessed. Looking forward to hearing from you today.